You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who travels so he can pretend he's on the lam, Pete Chwaba.
All right. Welcome back. We are... It is time for Act Three, folks. This has been a really fun night. As I mentioned earlier, this is our last live show until after Christmas. We'll be back next Monday night, live Monday night and Tuesday, and then taking another short break over the New Year holiday. So we got to make this last hour count, Con. You ready? We stretched out?
What was that?
Are you still here? You still with me?
Yes.
Are you already on vacation an hour, or you can't make it another hour?
I had a mind fog there.
Well, I'm glad you're back. So we've got, this is exciting. It's been a good show. If you missed the first couple hours, as I mentioned before, always available at civicmedia.us and cataloged in podcast form. We talked to in hour number one tonight. This has been just, the whole night has been a blast. So we had hour number one, we had 7,000 Apart here in the studio. They are kind of regulars on the show, a great musical duo, husband and wife team. They performed a new song they will drop January 7th. That was fun. Ellen Burling joined us in hour number two to tell us all about Lake Geneva Cruises and their Santa Cruise, which you can still do, I believe, through, I think she said through the first of the year. And then Ben Reiser joined us before the break to talk movies. I cannot believe what a fan he is of the movie One Battle After Another. And I am too. But I have not seen it nearly as much as Ben. So we caught up with Ben. And coming up in this hour, in just a few minutes after the next break, Steve March Torme will be here, a band leader, musician, singer, songwriter. He's done it all in the music industry. And he is going to perform a classic here, a cappella, that another very famous family member of his wrote. We will give you more information when Steve is here in the studio. That will be fun. So we've got music bookending the show. I talked about how I brushed my teeth with a hair on my toothbrush.
Yes.
But I surmised that it was my own hair, and I was in a hurry, so I couldn't get it out, so I just went with it. It had to have been mine. Nobody broke into my downstairs bathroom and left a hair on my toothbrush.
Well,
although that would be pretty diabolical. So... if someone was,
well,
was so inclined.
Let's just say I was out of the house last night.
Yeah, you don't live anywhere near me.
I took
at Geriatric Central getting your heat turned up by downstairs neighbor.
I took a sleigh ride last night.
Did you?
All the way to Marinette. So I could put some hair on your
toothbrush. Have to ride with Santa. There you go. I don't know. Any idea what I did with all my notes. All right. So that's all fun. And then the last hour, folks, we've got more live music in the studio. And I'm so excited to have Steve on the show. I've been wanting to have him on the show for well over a year, but he's a very busy guy touring with his band and doing all sorts of stuff. And I just found out he's a huge Packer fan. So he and Conrad can commiserate over what happened last weekend. If it comes up. But either way, Steve will be here in person. Our question of the night, Con, I think we just need to reintroduce it. Let's do it. Nightlight question of the night. Here it comes.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Hey, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What is your favorite part, or what is your favorite pre-Christmas activity? Or Hanukkah? Kwanzaa? Festivus, whatever you celebrate, what is your favorite pre-holiday activity? I said putting up the tree. I like to do that after Thanksgiving when the kids are home. Put the lights in there, argue with my wife a little bit. It's all part of the action. I like Christmas movies when the kids are home and Christmas music until about 3 days ago. I've officially become sick of Christmas music. What did you say again?
Well, you know, grabbing a cup of Joe.
Cup of Joe.
Watching some Christmas films.
And your favorite is Christmas Vacation.
That is very true.
I would say we haven't talked very much about Christmas Vacation other than those 2 days last week when we had some pushback on whether or not it was a good movie from Boris Hamilton.
That just grinded my gears over here.
I didn't really totally disagree with them. I still like it. I feel like it's comfort food.
Exactly. I mean, it's just, I always watch every year because the same laughs that happen, I still laugh at them.
Yeah, same. It's not Citizen Kane either. I'm not expecting that. But like Ben said, you know, Chevy Chase was supposed to play Tim Allen's character in the Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. I might have liked that a little better.
Honestly, I think that would have been pretty good.
Yeah. And what was the other one he said that Chevy Chase was supposed
to play? Toy Story.
Toy Story. I disagree.
I don't see him as Buzz. Or no, not Buzz. Not Buzz. Woody.
No. Tom Hanks was always going to play Woody. That's a play tone film, I believe. So you're right. It has to have been Buzz that Chevy Chase would have played instead of Tim Allen again. And he probably would have been good, but I actually think Tim Allen works really well in the Buzz character there. Could fly around this room with my eyes closed. That was my Buzz Lightyear impression.
That was great.
So our question of the night, let us know, folks, what is your favorite pre-holiday activity? What do you like in the buildup? What do you like to do? What gets you excited about the holiday? Because it is two days away, really. And tomorrow is Christmas Eve, so very exciting stuff. And we are here for you. Susan from McFarland in the 608 says, hey, Pete and Conrad with a K. Oh, that was nice.
Thank you.
Many shout-outs like that. Just want to thank you for putting on a great show every night, and I hope that you have a wonderful holiday season with your families. Well, thank you, Susan. Very nice to hear. Yeah. My favorite part of Christmas is purchasing gifts for other people and watching them open the gifts. Also, Pete, if you want a good show, it's called This is Christmas, and it's on Prime. It's really nice. It's a really nice show, and I think you'll enjoy it. Thank you, Susan. I wish more people would share what they're watching, because I ask guests that, like, what are you binge watching? But it's always nice to hear people just offer up show suggestions, because I am always looking for stuff to watch. So thank you very much, Susan. Brett from Brown Deer wanted to specify 920 is my old area code I've had for 15 years. I drove down to Illinois 1 hour from my house. I still have an 818 area code. So I get it, Brett. Your phone number is like a social security number. You can't give it up, because then people won't be able to find you down the road.
I did change my number like 2 years ago now.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember that, actually, because I think I still have your old number programmed in my phone.
Yeah, and you're like, who's this guy? He's texting me.
Conrad's party line, right? Carla from the 810. I don't even know where that is. Is that Pennsylvania, maybe? But she lives in Madison now, so that works. Carla says, my husband and I put on our PJs and get hot chocolate and drive around and look at Christmas lights and sometimes go through... Did I already read this? No, I did not. And go through the Olin Park Christmas. Oh, that was because we had another texter that said they drove through Olin Park in Madison. That must be the place in Madison for Christmas lights. Carla continues, as for a movie for you to watch, my new favorite is Noel. I don't know that movie, and I appreciate that. Thank you. Another awesome suggestion.
That movie I actually seen. It's on Disney Plus, I believe, and it's with Bill Hader and Anna Kendrick. It's a funny film.
Oh, very cool. Thank you for the suggestion. Much appreciated. Rin from Madison says, writing notes in Christmas cards while enjoying an Irish coffee or nice red wine. Sounds like as long as there's alcohol involved, Rin is all over it. And you could get carried away writing a letter when you're under the influence, let me just say. Thank you, Rin. John from the 608 says, hi, Peter and Conrad. Happy holidays to you and yours. Thank you, John. On Christmas Eve, my 25-year-old daughter, Mom, and I will eat a nice dinner, open one gift of our choosing, turn on It's a Wonderful Life, and lounge and talk. That sounds fantastic. He says, then we play Scrabble. My daughter always wins. She's an English major, writer, editor, and she shows it off at the game. The thing that I secretly love the most about the game is the Gen Z blank 20-mile stare I get from Shannon when I walk the board into the room and announce game on. Do you know this look, Peter? Yes, I do, John, because I was recently made aware of this. It's called the Gen Z stare. And it's when you're talking to a person in your generation. You're Gen Z, right, Con?
I think so.
I don't really get this from you because you're at work when you're here, but sometimes they just stare at you like they don't have any like they don't know what you're saying.
So I'm doing that all the time when you're talking.
You do, but that's because of limited intelligence. I'm kidding, of course. So I totally get that, John. I think that's hilarious. And I was an English major, too. I'm sure your daughter is much brighter than me because I don't win at Scrabble. So, but have a good time. That's a great text. Kurt from Madison says, OMG, you would never survive boot camp. Well, that's true, but what is he referring to, Conrad?
he was referring to the hair. We were talking about, you know, we went like with the food.
Oh, the hair on my toothbrush.
but the burger.
Oh, the hair on the burger.
You would eat around the pizza. Yeah.
And I went back again.
So you say you would survive boot camp.
So what is he saying? Boot camp is just like they just throw bodily particles in your food?
Maybe.
Okay. Guess I need to toughen up. Thanks, Kurt. Appreciate it. Steve from Florida says, one pre-Christmas activity I used to love and miss when the boys were young was going Little Debbie Snacks Christmas shopping. I would line from their rooms to the Christmas tree, Little Debbie treats to set up the enthusiasm for one day. Is that true, Con?
It's true.
That's a great memory.
That's why I really don't eat Little Debbies anymore.
Just got sick of them.
I had too many.
You had to eat your way to the Christmas tree. Thank you, Steve. Ross from Crawford County in the 608 says, free Christmas activities used to be rewatching Peanuts Christmas Story or It's a Wonderful Life, but now I like watching Christmas movies that I've never seen before. I'm kind of with you, Ross, because I've got a lot I need to see. He says this year was Christmas Holiday, 1944, directed by Robert Siedmak. I don't know who that is. Starring Gene Kelly and Deanna Durbin. Awesome text. Thank you, Ross. And then Steve from Florida. Oh, we already read that one. Bridget's in the 818 also. She says, I like thinking of gifts and watching holiday movies. And my favorite is listening to Christmas songs. 3 exclamation points, Conrad. She means business.
Yeah.
Conrad's mom says making gingerbread cookies while listening to Christmas music. Boy, that's a great
There's some too. Good gingerbread cookies.
Outstanding stuff. One final text for now, then we're caught up. Mark says, I've been binging on Christmas movies, have a number on DVD and Blu-ray, several versions of A Christmas Carol. Alistair Sim version is one of the best. The original Miracle on 34th Street in black and white is the best version. Awesome stuff, you guys. Keep those texts coming. What is your favorite pre-Christmas activity? Dave on the stream also wished us a happy Festivus. Do we have time to play the Festivus clip? We got a jam. I think we can do it.
Yeah, we can do it.
Let's get in as much as we can. Happy Festivus, everybody. This comes to us from Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson, a great nugget about Festivus.
For fans of the show About Nothing, December 23rd is a holiday, and the ultimate thing to have is the poll.
A Festivus for the rest of us!
In 1997, an episode of Seinfeld aired that sparked traditions still celebrated decades later.
It's made from aluminum. Very high strength to weight ratio.
In 2005, staff at Wagner Metalworks in Milwaukee thought, hey, we could make a Festivus poll. So they did.
In those first years, we were selling a couple thousand a year.
CEO Bob Wagner says even when it's not December, you can always find one around here.
It sounds like the poles have a life of their own around here.
Mine does. It's up year-round in my office.
He's had people from as far away as Australia order one, paying $24 for the pole and three times that just to ship it.
It shows the reach of television. It shows the reach of the shows.
There's even one in the state capitol, and former Governor Jim Doyle was a huge Festivus fan.
I heard Governor Doyle enjoyed Festivus, and so I sent him one at the state house. Because it was a gift, he couldn't take it with him. After he left, he sent me a check for the cost of a Festivus poll, and I sent him another copy.
Wagner owns the copyright to the term Festivus pole. They're the only ones in the country who can use it.
In order to use Festivus pole, they had to get approval from us.
Still, you can find all kinds of Festivus items that don't use that special phrase. A friend sent me a tiny little kit, so I had to show it to Bob.
I've never seen this one before. I love it.
Seinfeld has been off the air nearly 25 years. But Festivus lives on.
It's such a clever invention that it has created a life of its own.
In Milwaukee.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, this is John Legend, and you're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabba. It is great to have you here, folks, on this. It's the eve of Christmas Eve. And that is a very
exciting. It's Christmas Eve Eve.
It is. It's almost better than Christmas Eve because Christmas Eve is typically crazy. You're running around like a maniac. So I'm going to enjoy tonight. I got a Christmas movie waiting for me. My daughter said I could pick it out. So go figure. But right now, we've got a lot more show left, folks. And a guest I'm about to introduce that I'm very excited to have on the show. I've been trying to have this guy on for a year. Not really trying, but I knew of you, Steve, and I wanted to have you on, and I reached out. I didn't know if you checked Facebook. I didn't know what was going on, but we've got him here tonight. He is a very talented singer, songwriter, band leader. He's mastered many music genres, and now he leads his own 13-piece band called Steam. Making his first appearance on Nightlight is Mr. Steve March Torme. Hey, Steve.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for having me. So how do you know about me?
I'm on statewide.
Stumbled on me somehow.
No, not at all. You came highly recommended. Like, I have a lot of live entertainment on the show periodically. Right. I talk about entertainment every night. And I probably had someone from Appleton that told me about you.
That's
and I was
nice.
Like, you got to be kidding me.
I'll
That's
take
great.
That.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
So I have to ask you first, how you were in my hood recently.
Which was where?
Marinette, Wisconsin.
Yes.
An hour north at the community.
A couple of days
Center.
Ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did that go?
Great, great. We've played Marinette. This is at least our third time, probably our fourth.
Nice.
And we always talk about, yeah, we got the concert on the pickleball court tonight. Yeah. Because it is, you know what I'm talking about. It's a rec
I do.
Center. There's a big artificial grass field. So my
that would be a good place for a concert.
Yes, well, but that's not what we do. We do it in the area that's on concrete. They put up a big stage. We had about 600 people, and then my friend Michael Murphy, who's the guitar player in the group, I always bring a football, and we go over to the artificial turf, and we just play football for about a half an hour and get nice and sweaty before we sing, which is nice in your suit.
That would almost give the like a park outdoor concert if you did it on the in the turf room. I think that would be kind of cool too. But then, you know, if you take a break in the on the courts, you can go up and dunk between
yes,
sets.
It was fun.
And,
I like that place. And the guy that the guy that hosts us every year is really nice, and
Sean,
it's for a good cause. And load-in is a little tough. It's cold.
Yeah,
you got snow and ice, and you're dragging equipment.
Right.
But the people are very nice, and we really had a great time at Marinette. Like I said, at least our third year, if not our fourth.
That's so great. And the show is kids from 1 to 92.
Four kids from 1 to 92.
Four kids from 1 to 92.
Taking the line from Dad's song.
Yeah. So tell us about that. Where else do you perform that show? Anywhere people will have you, or?
Yes.
I don't mean it like that.
No,
I mean
but
like,
you're right. Wherever they'll put up with us.
That's a great festive show, yeah.
We did 11 concerts this last month. The only one out of state was Olawine, Iowa. But we started, I think we started at the PAC in Fox Cities, which is where I live, in Appleton. We did the Fox Cities Performing Arts Center. We did two nights at the Thelma Sadov Center for the Arts in Fond du Lac. We were in Wausau. We were in Marinette. We were in Olawine, Iowa. Elkhart Lake. That was great.
Fun.
Because we stayed at the Osthoff.
Oh,
and that
very
resort
nice.
Is beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, so 11 concerts, the Grand in Oshkosh, two nights.
Great.
And great audiences, and, you know, we're very lucky. We fill the place up, and they love the show. So, you know, knock on wood.
And I love that it's, like, kind of jazz, right? You got this big...
Well, it's all over the place.
Yeah.
It's all over the place. It's jazz, it's pop, it's some TSO stuff, you know, Trans-Siberian.
Okay.
It's really... There's an a cappella tune... There's kind of a New Orleans jazz tune. It is all over. I get to sing a song that was originally recorded by Charles Brown and redone by the Eagles called Please Come Home for Christmas.
Mm.
You know, bells will be ringing,
yeah,
the sad,
song.
Sad news. And I get to play electric guitar, so I'm a happy boy. and we do Little Drummer Boy with five drummers out in front on stage, including myself.
Oh,
so
wow.
It's the show is extremely varied, which is my favorite part about it. I don't want to see an hour and a half of okay, well, the same thing I just saw 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
So I'm proud of the show. I think it's pretty cool.
But it's a big sound, 13 pieces.
Yeah.
Like, and some of these smaller towns probably are not used to seeing
They're
13
not.
I know we used to have the Milwaukee Symphony used to come up to Menominee and play this auditorium, which is great. They don't do that anymore. They get, you know, rock cover bands, mm-hmm, that kind mm-hmm. of stuff, maybe some occasional original music, but mm-hmm. 13 pieces. What a fun night for people.
Yeah, and everybody can play. I mean, it's not like, oh, okay, a bunch of Wisconsin garage band. No.
Right.
These are people that, you know, graduated from Lawrence. They're really good musicians.
How did you put that band together, and when did you put them together?
Well, My friend Michael Bailey and I put this band together. He was in a band for 35 years called Vic Ferrari. And a lot of people in this area know Vic Ferrari. They're a cover band. And Michael and I got together a few years ago. The way he tells it's not quite accurate. He says he was a teacher at St. Mary's. And he said, so this guy walks into my school and says, I want to be in a band with you. And I said, who the hell are you? I go, that's not quite how it happened. I don't go driving around to high schools going, maybe you have a music director. Can I come in? So somehow he and I ended up together. And I've never really wanted to be in a cover band. It's not my thing. Yeah. I'm a solo artist. I write. I like doing original material. But I said, if I'm going to do a cover band for fun, let's do a cover band that plays the songs that people don't hear every day. Okay. That they don't hear at every wedding. I have no interest in that.
Right.
I don't want to get on stage and sing Stand By Me. Go to a wedding.
Right.
So
right.
We do stuff that people hear and go, oh my gosh, I love that song. I haven't heard that in years. Like Lonely Boy by Andrew Gold.
Oh, nice.
Oh, cool tune.
Great song.
Oh, I don't know that song. Yeah. And they go, I know that song. How Can I Be Sure by the Rascals.
Nice.
Again, I'm not going to do Groovin' because we've all heard it. So the whole idea is to do songs that I know we can sing, that I know we can harmonize on, and people will go, wow, that's cool. We didn't expect that. That was the whole idea.
Steve March Torme is here, folks. You mentioned your dad. We'll tell people who your dad is after the news, because that's a pretty cool story, too. But I just heard Chevy Van the other day, and I actually loved... Remember that song from the 70s? Gonna Love You in My Chevy Van. And,
oh, yeah, yeah. Well,
all these great songs.
That's going
songs.
Back, yep.
All right, so Steve is here. We're going to break for the news, and we'll be right back. He's going to sing... A song his...
I am?
His
oh, my gosh.
You better start warming
All
up,
right.
buddy. All right, we're coming right back. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful. But the fire is so delightful.
Welcome
Since
back.
We've no place to go.
All right, we are jamming through a Tuesday night edition of Nightlight, broadcasting live statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay. What could be better, folks? Christmas is right around the corner, and we're talking about the things in life that make us happy. Movies, TV, comedy, music, and all the fun stuff happening in Wisconsin this time of year.
And the food that we're going to eat over the holidays, which we shouldn't.
What are you going to eat, Steve?
More stuff than I should.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
And same old, you know, mac and cheese, turkey, desserts. Ugh, yeah.
That is the voice of Steve March Torme, who joins me here in the studio. He is a crooner. A master of many genres. He is one of the leaders of the band Steam. And... they play all over Wisconsin, and they will go to Iowa, right? Went to Iowa?
Yeah, we were in Olowine, Iowa, which is not far from the Field of Dreams.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, when we went last year, I checked it out. Now,
Did you?
In winter, the Field of Dreams isn't quite as alluring. It's covered in snow.
Hockey rink of dreams, yeah.
But yeah.
That's
exactly.
Right.
There was no Kevin Costner there. No.
Steve, you have a famous dad, a famous crooner, and you mentioned your father in the previous segment. And tell us about Mel Torme and how did he influence you? Because a lot of people won't follow their very famous parent into that line of work. You did. That must have been somewhat intimidating, I think.
Very, very good question, which I will clear up immediately.
Okay.
So Mel Torme is my real father, my birth father, and a wonderful musician, terrific singer, drummer, arranger, writer, all that stuff. But my folks got divorced when I was 2 and a half, so I never really lived with Mel Torme.
Okay.
My mom married a guy who at the time was better known than Mel Torme was in the entertainment field. His name was Hal March, and Hal was the host of the $64,000 Question Show, which was a huge television show.
Yeah.
He was on Broadway in a play called Come Blow Your Horn. A very, very talented guy, and he's the person that got me into sports. When I was a kid, I wanted to be a Major League Baseball player. That's been my first love from the beginning. It's been baseball.
Yeah.
So when people ask me, so what's it like being Mel's son and all these musicians you were around, and did you meet Count Basie and Ella? No, I was around Hal's friends, who were all the Borscht Belt comedians. So our dinner parties every weekend were Jan Murray, Lucille Ball, Milton Berle, Buddy Hackett, Jack Carter. This is who I was around all the time because Hal had a great sense of humor and he was funny and he liked, my mom and dad liked having dinner parties and having these people over. Why wouldn't you? You're going to laugh all
night.
So being a little kid, you know, I had to be in bed by 9 o'clock and I'm in my bedroom. I'm, you know, 11 years old and I'm going and listening to the door. And after dinner, they would all go in the living room and start, you know, drinking some Chevis.
Yeah.
And they'd all start competing with each other. And it got, just got dirtier and dirtier. You know, Buddy Hackett saying, so these two Jews walk into a bar. And I'm hearing my mom laughing. And that was my childhood. Which doesn't mean I wasn't influenced by my real dad. I'm thankful that I think I have some of his genes and hopefully a good ear.
Yeah.
But I was really not influenced by him. But I'm thankful that I had a great stepfather and a great dad.
Yeah.
I got lucky.
And you have both their names.
That's why it's Steve March Torme. Okay. I wanted to honor both of them. I was Steve March for a long time. I said, you know, people are going to know that Mel Torme is my dad, and I should get this legally changed. So I did.
Okay.
In Wisconsin.
Nice.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So, all right. I'm wondering if what's a better segue, asking you how you ended up in Wisconsin? You know, a kid born in Manhattan.
Yeah.
And then you lived in Beverly Hills. You're around. That's what I got excited about when I was reading about you the other day.
Oh, my bio?
Well, the bio and just that, like, I thought it was cool that you were Mel Torme's son. But also when I saw who your stepfather was, I was like, I mean, I was a nationally touring comedian for 7 years. Then I got lucky and sold the script. So I kind of segued out of stand-up. But you're always a comedian. And I love comedians. And I was so envious of you reading about who you grew up around, you know?
Well, you know, I've been asked many times, you ever thought about doing stand-up? I said, not for a second.
Yeah.
Not a chance. That's the hardest gig in the world.
Okay.
Because you could be the worst singer in the world. And when you finish a song, people will applaud just like, oh, at least the song's over. They'll applaud. But if you're not funny, you don't get laughs.
Yeah.
I mean, if you tell a joke and it's not funny, people don't go, oh, gosh, that's funny.
Right.
They'll just sit there in silence.
No one fakes
because
a laugh.
We've all seen comedians bomb.
Yeah.
And it's brutal. I mean, that's flop sweat.
If it's a friend of yours, it's pretty funny, though, watching him bomb. So, all right. So that's exciting. But let's talk about,
how I got here?
Well, yeah. You live in Appleton with this bi-coastal upbringing.
Yep.
How did you end up in Wisconsin?
I was born in Manhattan in Doctor's Hospital, which is long gone. My mom and dad, Mel and my mom, Candy, got divorced when I was 2 and a half. And she married the love of her life, really, in Hal March. And we moved to Westchester County, and that was really my upbringing. That's when I, you know, became a baseball nut, because the Yankees were my team.
Yeah.
And it was those Yankees teams. It was the great Yankees teams. And there's a whole other story with that, with myself and Tony Kubek. But we probably don't have time. But we'll see.
Okay.
So anyway, we lived in Westchester County. One day, my mom and dad announced, what do you think about this? We're moving to Beverly Hills. I went, what? I just got Patsy Bloom to notice me, the girl that was in our dance thing. Yeah. She noticed me finally. They said, well, we're moving to Beverly Hills. I said, but I hear all the kids there are snobby and they have Stingray bikes. I don't want to move there. I didn't have a lot of pull in this.
Not at that age.
So we had five kids. I've got four brothers and sisters that were one full Torme, my sister Melissa, and my mom and Hal had three other kids that were Marches. So the five of us moved out to Los Angeles, to Beverly Hills. And the first guy I met, there was a knock at our door. We'd been there about, I don't know, a week. And there's a knock at our door, and we opened up. My dad says, well, you're the man of the house. Open the door. I was 12. And I opened the door, and there's this kind of chubby, good-looking kid, my age, obviously. And I said, hi. He goes, hi, I'm Desi. I said, oh, I'm Steve. And Desi Arnaz Jr. became the first person that I met.
Wow.
Because Lucy lived a block up the street. And next to Lucy lived Jack Benny. And next to Jack Benny lived Jimmy Stewart. This was the block we were on.
Yeah.
It's like, and so when people ask me, what's it like? Well, to me, it was just normal because I didn't think about it. I'm just kind of growing up there. I went to school with those guys, with Dean Martin Jr., Dino. Lorraine Newman from Saturday Night Live was in my class. What's her name? I'm going too fast. From Star Wars.
Princess Leia.
Yes.
Carrie Fisher.
Yeah, Carrie Fisher was in my class. So these were the kids that went to Beverly Hills High School. And again, I didn't really think about it. We just kind of went there. And I got lucky because my stepfather was not a disciplinarian, but he was a really good dad. And there was no way he was going to let me go off the rails. Not a chance.
Wow, nice.
So, you know, these kids were driving expensive exotic cars. And he said, you're not doing that. You want to buy a car? You go to work and earn it. So I'm thankful for that because I could have spiraled out quickly and I didn't. So thanks to my stepdad for that.
Steve Marsh Torme is my guest here in the Nightlight studio for the first time. And we're talking about his upbringing and some of his music and all the famous people he grew up around. Carrie Fisher, actually, when we lived in Valley Village, she lived across the street from us. I thought that was like the coolest
thing. Valley Village in L.A.?
In L.A., yeah.
In the Valley?
In the Valley. She lived
in... I know Valley Villages.
Yeah.
Of course.
Oh, it's everybody. A ton of people. It's not Beverly Hills, but
no,
we had...
it's
the grocery store.
On the other side of the hill.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, we found that out like the first week we moved there. It's like,
wow,
what? That's like the coolest thing ever. I
never
saw
her. Barry
White
lived in Valley Village. Probably didn't know that.
Barry White?
Yeah, he had a house there.
Wow. Well, it's so funny because that's like blue collar LA.
Right.
The houses by the time we left were million.
Oh, sure.
Three bedroom and a bath and a half was 1.5 million.
Well, but when I moved out to Wisconsin to Appleton, I mean, the going joke was in West LA was, well, what do you want for 1.5?
Yeah.
And we know I'm telling the truth here.
A fixer. Yeah.
Absolutely. We'll have to demolish the kitchen. 1.5. I'm sorry.
I hope you're handy.
The prices are astronomical.
Ridiculous.
Yep.
Occasionally, for a while, my wife would talk about going back. I'm like, you can't, once you leave that money, you can't really, it's hard to go back unless, you know, you sell something or whatever. Exactly.
You're going to live in a really crummy part of the valley for about 650 grand.
Right. Exactly. You're right. Pacoima. Yeah.
Thank you.
So how do you like Appleton? It's very different from either coast.
Very much so.
Yeah.
When we first moved out, my wife's family, her mom and dad, live in Berlin.
Okay.
Now, Berlin, Wisconsin, which is about, 18, 19 minutes west of Oshkosh, is a town of 5,300.
Whoa.
And when we talked about that, when we were living in a decent townhouse in Santa Monica. Not posh,
yeah,
but nice, you know, and fairly expensive. We were lucky to have it. And my wife one day said, what do you think about the idea of us moving closer to mom and dad? Because we would come out and spend time with her parents, and we had just had our first child.
Okay.
And my brothers and sisters are displaced. They're all over the place. We had no help with our baby. And my mom and, you know, mom and dad were gone. And I said, what do you mean living in Wisconsin? Because what do you think about moving there? I said, hon, I like visiting mom and dad, but I don't see me living on a property with silos. That's just not me.
That's a big change.
I'm from Manhattan. Come on. And we made a pros and cons list and realized, you know what? From what I do for a living, which is doing concerts and singing, I can do it from the middle of the country.
Right.
It'll be easier to go to East Coast and West Coast than it will be to go all the way from L.A. to Florida or New York and come all the way back. I convinced myself, okay, let's go out to Wisconsin. Maybe we can actually own a house one day, which we had no chance of in Los Angeles.
Right.
Just too expensive.
Yeah.
And that's how we ended up there. We ended up moving to Berlin, Wisconsin. We bought my wife's grandparents' house. They had both passed away recently, but the house had not been sold yet. We bought it, fixed it up, made a little bit of money, and then we started looking around, you know, what would be a nice place to live? And everybody said, check out Appleton.
Yeah.
They've got good schools. It's pretty safe. It's a nice area. And there's a bar every 12 feet, so, which I didn't really care about, but it's the truth. If
you've
been to College
drive.
Avenue in Appleton, not unlike Green Bay.
Right.
And that's how we ended up in Appleton. I like it. I mean, my two daughters have gone to school there. They went through the Appleton school system, which surprisingly, which is unfair for me to say, is pretty good.
Yeah.
The school system's pretty good. I mean, they went to Appleton North, which is a good elementary school, and they're out of high school, and both my girls are in college now.
Wow. Like
that went by really quickly.
Yeah, no kidding. So you've been here,
smokes.
They were young. So you've been
here
15-ish?
At least 19 years.
Okay, 19 years. Wow.
Oh, my God.
It's a very...
How
like,
is that? I'm only 32 years old. How did that happen?
You have that look about you that, and I don't want to say it's like an LA thing, but like you look younger than you are.
I sold my
You're
soul.
You're 94.
I sold my soul to the devil a long time ago.
But it is an easy place to live, right? Like you've got
I think so.
In Northeast Wisconsin, you've got some culture. You've got
I agree.
There's a bustle here. It's not. It's,
well, it's
not
also
LA,
a college
but...
town. Lawrence University makes
right.
a big difference.
Exactly.
If it was just a little burg in Wisconsin, it'd be different. But it's that school is very good. Gets very good teachers, good musicians. Apple. It's got a Fox Cities Performing Arts Center, which is legit.
Sure.
I mean, it's not just.
I saw
Les
Mis there 3 years ago. It was great, and I'd seen it other places, and it was just as good. Like, it's fantastic.
Yeah, and they get local acts. You know, they get Diana Ross. They get the Temptations. They get people that are touring Broadway shows.
So. Fantastic. All right, Steve Marchetorme is here in the studio. When we come back, he is going to sing a classic for us. He's already agreed to do this before I paid him. Did I pay you? What did I offer you?
We'll get to that.
Okay.
Because the price just went up.
Conrad, go to the petty cash.
And when I say petty, I mean really petty.
We're coming right back to close this thing down with our new pal, Steve Marchetorme. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. We are in the home stretch here, folks, on our last live show of the week. But for the rest of the week, you'll have the soothing voice of Lou Regani, and he is going to be playing the Christmas music of the stars to fill your holiday coffers for the next 3 days. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll be back live next Monday. Steve Marchetorme is here. He is a musician, singer, songwriter, band leader, all kinds of stuff. He is the master of all musical genres. And our pal Terry Barr, who we do Bar Band Friday Night with here, is listening. And she says, this interview with Steve Marchetorme is awesome. Great stories. Thank you, Terry. I love when Terry's listening to the show. So you're talking about all these people you grew up around, Steve. And I find that fascinating. But also, I'm sure at some point they're just people. They're your neighbors. And that's what you're used to. So you still went into this crazy business with a famous father and a famous stepfather. And was that intimidating? How did you? That takes a lot of guts in a way.
Yeah, and again, when people have asked me about that, they said, "Does it? You know, what's it like having that last name?" I said, "Well, to be honest with you, if you have a famous last name and you're not very good at what you do, it's not going to matter. It's not going to help you one bit. And if you have a famous last name and you're good at what you do, it's not going to matter. You're just going to do it.
Right.
So I do my homework, and I mean." The last thing I want to do is get on stage and have people say, well, he's okay, but he ain't no Mel Torme. I mean, the guy, I heard some flat notes there, and his intonation isn't so good. His timing isn't that good. I've never tried to be like my dad. There's no reason to. He did what he did, and he was very good at it. I do what I do and try to be as good at it as I can. And again, if you've got a famous last name, it's up to you to do what you do best. And to be brutally honest with you, I can't do anything else. Yeah. I really can't. I mean, I'm a performer, and I sing, and I write. I play piano. I play guitar. I wanted to be a baseball player. I was pretty good, but not good enough to be a pro. So it was like, this is what I enjoy doing. So that's a simple answer.
That's great. And as an artist, all you have is yourself. Whether it's a comedian, artist, or musician, your point of view, your what you bring to it. That's what makes you special.
You have to sell you. We're not selling shoes. They can speak for themselves. You can be a horrible human being, but I like those shoes, but when you're in the entertainment business, you have to sell you constantly.
Yeah.
And that's tricky.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to alienate people. You want to be true to yourself. So it's interesting. I'm preaching to the choir. You know this.
Yeah. Sometimes selling shoes, though, doesn't sound that bad. I would be in. Hey, you offered to sing this earlier. I would love it if you sang the song your dad made famous, the Christmas song.
So,
a cappella, which is very impressive.
So, I wrote a song, and not to compete with Dad. It's a song that we do in all of our shows, and we play it on 91.1 The Avenue. They're playing it right now, as a matter of fact, during the holiday season, called I Remember Christmas Time, which was a reminiscence of kind of looking back on my life when I was living in Berlin and saying, God, you were born in Manhattan. I mean, you met Mickey Mantle at Toots Shores. You lived in Beverly Hills, and now you're living in Berlin, Wisconsin. Population of 5,300, and you have two young daughters. And I was at a park with my girls, and I was hearing them laughing, and I started thinking about how different my life had become, and it was good. It was like, oh, this is great. My girls feel safe. They're secure. And that's how that song came about. Dad's song, and some people might not know this story. In 1945, it was one of the hottest summers in the history of Los Angeles County. And on July, do you have two seconds for this?
Yeah, okay. Listen, we're done at 8 o'clock
on
the nose.
Oh, then I better sing it soon.
But whatever one you want.
Then I better start singing it now.
If something's personal to you, go for that route,
I'll tell afterwards, okay?
Okay.
So here's the song that Dad wrote. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe will help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas to you.
Wow.
And that's the song. So Dad,
Dude,
1945.
Smooth.
We got a couple of seconds. There were a couple of Jewish songwriters that were getting together to write a song. Famous guys, Sammy Kahn and Julie Stein.
Yeah.
And it was 2 weeks before that song was written, and it was on a very hot day in Los Angeles. And they're working on this song, and Julie Stein said to Sammy Kahn, you've got a convertible. Let's drive to Santa Monica. I'm sweating. I'm miserable. We'll get some fresh air. We'll come back and finish the song. And Sammy Kahn said, we're so close. Let's finish it now. Let's stay here. And they did. And those two Jewish songwriters wrote Let It Snow, Let It Snow on that day.
Oh,
2 weeks later, Dad had a writing session with Bob Wells, his partner, his songwriter, and they didn't know what they were going to write. And Dad went over to Bob Wells' his house in the San Fernando Valley, which is usually 10 to 15 degrees hotter than West L.A., as you know.
Yeah.
And he went up to the front door, and he knocked on the front door, and no answer. He walked inside, and he could hear that the shower was going. Bob was showering at 9 o'clock in the morning to kind of stay cool. Dad saw a piece of paper on the piano. It had four lines of lyrics on it. Bob walked out of the shower. Dad looked at him and said, Bob, at least put on a towel. That's not really what he said. What he really said was, I think we have a song here. And that day, 2 weeks after Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Bob Wells and Mel Torme wrote the Christmas song.
That is gorgeous. And what a great way to come back, please, and sing your song, too. I would love that.
I'd be more than happy.
Steve March Torme, what a great way to go into the holidays.
Bob,
thank
put
you,
on a towel.
Thank you, sir. Thanks to Ben Reiser and 7,000 Apart and Ellen Burling. Thanks for all your texts and calls. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, everyone. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabba saying goodnight, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.